Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are, whatever part of the day you're in. Sure to appreciate y'all joining me, giving me a little bit of your time, and giving me a piece of your day. I hope it gives you something to look forward to. I hope it gives you some extra knowledge. Some encouragement. Hope it helps our country just a little bit. For those of y'all that continue to share the podcast, to tell others about it, I'm very grateful for that. And so I appreciate it a great deal. Y'all help the podcast to grow. And not a lot on the homestead. I can't think of anything new that I can say yet. There's some coming, but not yet. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this day that you have made. Help us to be grateful for it. To rejoice in you and your Son, Jesus Christ, to look forward to the hope of eternal life with you. Help us to follow your commandments. Follow the commands of your Son to love you, Father, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love our neighbors as ourselves. Guide our steps. Remove sin, remove iniquity far from us. Remove the snares and thorns and traps from our path. Light our path up, Lord. Be a lamp unto our feet. Watch over our nation, those who lead us, our military, our law enforcement, our firefighters. Be with them. Strengthen their faith. Protect them. Give them courage and wisdom. Be with their families. Be with those on the border. Keep them safe. Help us to help them do their job. And guide my words here, Father. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So we've been talking about these Bible societies, and we're going to keep going into that. We were talking about Elias Boudinot, who's a name I meant to look up in between these two podcasts and see how it was supposed to be pronounced, and I didn't, and I'm sure one of y'all will tell me online somewhere or in person when I see you sometimes, and I will be grateful for that. But I'm going to read another. You know, you look at this quote. I'm going to read this quote again real quick. For nearly half a century, I've anxiously and critically studied that invaluable treasure, the Bible. And I still scarcely ever take it up that I do not find something new, that I do not receive some valuable addition to my stock of knowledge, or perceive some instructive fact never observed before. In short, were you to ask me to recommend the most valuable book in the world, I should fix on the Bible as the most instructive, both to the wise and ignorant. Were you to ask me for one affording the most rational and pleasing entertainment to the inquiring mind, I should repeat, it is the Bible. And should you renew the inquiry for the best philosophy or the most interesting history, I should still urge you to look into your Bible. I would make it, in short, the Alpha and Omega of knowledge. I'm reminded of a couple quotes, I think, both by John Quincy Adams, talking about how he read the Bible. He would go through the Bible about once a year for about 50 years, and, you know, he was still getting new stuff out of it, even after all that time. And you do. You find that when you read the Bible consistently, it's almost like the more you read it, the more you get out of it. Which makes sense, right? You kind of think, excuse me. You kind of think about learning a new language. The more of that language you know, the more you understand that language. Well, the Bible's like its own little language. The more you understand it and the more you know of it, the more you understand it. And John Quincy Adams also made the comment, I believe he said the first book and almost the only book worth giving universal attention to is the Bible. One of the little Bible verses that they put in the Founder's Bible in this little section is Romans 11:33 through 34. Oh, the depths and riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? Food a lot. Excuse me, I don't know why I have the yawns today. Retired as president of the American Bible Society. And the second president was John Jay. He was the original Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He's also the one that gave us the quote that it was not only the privilege, but the duty of us to elect Christian men for our rulers in a Christian nation. This is his comment about the importance of the Bible. We know that a great proportion of mankind are ignorant of the revealed will of God. By conveying the Bible to people thus circumstanced, we certainly do them a most interesting act of kindness. We thereby enable them to learn that man was originally created and placed in a state of happiness, but becoming disobedient was subjected to the degradation and evils which he and his posterity have since experienced. The Bible will also inform them that our gracious Creator has provided for us a Redeemer, in whom all the nations of the earth should be blessed. That this Redeemer has made atonement for the sins of the whole world, and thereby reconciling the divine justice with the divine mercy, has opened a way for our redemption and salvation, and that these inestimable benefits are the free gift and grace of God, not of our deserving, nor in our power to deserve. The Bible will also animate them with many explicit and consoling assurances of the divine mercy to our fallen race, and with repeated invitations to accept the offers of pardon and reconciliation. The truth of these facts and the sincerity of these assurances being unquestionable, they cannot fail to promote the happiness of those by whom they are gratefully received, and of those by whom they are benevolently communicated. So he's telling us that you're going to receive benefits by giving the Bible out, right? And by those who gratefully receive it. Those who receive it, it's going to improve their own lives. That's going to be the benefit. And those who give it out, it's going to improve society because it's improving the lives of those you've given it to. And of course, you see the caveat, which is a pretty huge caveat there. Those who gratefully receive it. There's a lot more people out there, though, folks, that are interested in the Bible than I think we give credit for. Because C.S. Lewis talked about it once. He said, I know I'm made for someplace else because there's nothing here on earth that can fill this desire, this longing that I have. I'm paraphrasing. There's a lot of people out there that are searching. They're looking for something. They may not even know, a lot of them don't know what they're looking for. And you can see that in the horrific decisions that we make as a culture. We try and fill it with money, we try and fill it with fame, we try and fill it with sex, try and fill it with entertainment. We're trying to fill this void, this hole in ourselves. And we can't. The only way to fill it is with Jesus Christ. And even then, it's going to be imperfect until we get to heaven one day. But there's a lot of people out there that are searching. They're desperate. Even some of the ones that claim most stringently that they don't want anything to do with God or Jesus Christ. Deep down, in a place that they don't talk about with anybody else, they really want to know. You see that often today, folks, in these really evil designs and desires that are pushed by the left, people that are claim to be, I'm feminist, I'm LGBTQIA plus, nonpolar, bipolar, whatever it is. I stand for critical race theory or DEI. And deep down, folks, and it's the part that makes them really seem unlovable because they're so angry about it and they're so feisty about it. But deep down, part of the problem is they thought they had solutions. They thought they had figured out what would make them happier and what would fill them up. And they're figuring out they don't really. And there's just this little hint in the back of their mind that whatever it is they latched on to isn't true. And it makes them even madder and angrier and more upset and more hurt. And you're not, all of them aren't going to turn to God. And that makes, I mean, Revelation in the Bible is perfectly clear about that, which is a terrifying thought, folks, to realize that someday those people that don't choose Jesus Christ are going to wake up and there's not going to be any more recourse. There's not going to be the second retest or the third or the fourth, which we do in public schools today so often, which is just so bad. It's so untrue and it does such a great disservice to these kids because you don't get retests in life. And there's going to come a day when a decision has to be made and there's not going to be any more second chances. And that's terrifying, which is all the more reason. Like our founding fathers talked about so often, to get the Bible out. I don't know if I even have enough time to read through all of this, but this is just a partial list that you can find in the Founders Bible of people who helped start different Bible societies. And again, just please remember in the back of your head when we're reading this, the idea that we're some pagan republic or some deist generalist republic is just a fat lie. Signers of the Constitution: Charles Cotsworth Pinckney, John Langdon, James McHenry, Rufus King, all of these men signed the Constitution, right? They all helped start Bible societies or were involved in that. Signers of the Declaration, Benjamin Rush, Thomas Jefferson. Isn't that an interesting one based on what you hear today about Thomas Jefferson? Especially considering that the left makes such a big deal of the fact that, well, he disliked the Bible so much that he cut parts out and made his own Bible. Why would you not look at it and say that he loved the Bible so much that he took specific parts of it and made his own little Bible, so to speak, about what he thought were the really important parts? I mean, how much effort did that take? That doesn't show a disdain or a rejection of the Bible. It shows it's so important. I'm going to make a little book with the really important parts so I can focus on it even more. Revolutionary War generals, John Brooks, John Hamilton, Rufus Putnam, and Matthew Clarkson. You hear a lot today from some pretty notable, world-famous figures. I'm thinking of one in particular, but there's others, talking about what a weak religion, what a weak faith Christianity is. It's not a religion for warriors. That has to be Islam or something else. First off, they don't know much about history because they're just an almost unending list of great warriors, tough men who have come out of Christianity. Second of all, in order to be a warrior, a real one, you have to be caring for those who are weaker than you. And doesn't matter what you say about the text in the Quran, Islam has about the worst track record you can find of that. U.S. Supreme Court justices, right? The people that aren't supposed to talk or think about Christianity. John Jay, John Marshall, Bushrod Washington, and Smith Thompson. Attorney General of the United States, William Writ and Felix Grundy. U.S. Secretary of War, Robert Troop. U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, Joseph Norse. U.S. President, John Quincy Adams. U.S. Vice President, Daniel Tompkins. State Supreme Court Justices, William Tighman, Andrew Kirkpatrick, William Gaston, and James Burrell Jr. Governors, Pete Froome, New Jersey, John Cotton Smith, Connecticut, George Madison, Kentucky, David Morrill, New Hampshire, William Jones, Rhode Island, Charles Goldsboro, Maryland, Jonas Galusha, Vermont, Joseph Bloomfield, New Jersey, DeWitt Clinton, New York, Thomas Worthington, Ohio, Isaac Shelby, Kentucky, Thomas Posey, Indiana. That's pretty impressive when you actually get through it. There's one other page here. I don't have time to read it, which is good in a sense because it encourages you to buy the Founders Bible, or the Patriots Bible, or the America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, which I can't encourage enough. That's my little version of a Bible society right now, folks, is I want you to buy those books. If you can all at all afford it, if you can find the money, if you can not get a latte from the coffee shop once a week for a couple months, and then buy one of these, that's our American Soul Bible Society. How about that? The American Soul Bible Society is to get the Founders Bible or the Patriots Bible, or both if you can't. But anyway, there's a little insert in here. talking about the number of founding fathers who were instrumental in producing specific editions, particular American Bibles. That's pretty fascinating, isn't it? I mean, why don't we know about that? Why don't we teach our kids about that? That we have American versions of the Bible, that was one of the acts of our first Congress, was getting Bibles printed because they couldn't get enough of them in from overseas during the war. There's just so much that we're cramming into our heads today that doesn't matter at all, and there's so much that we're not learning that does. If you get a chance, American Soul Bible Society, Founders Bible, or the Patriots Bible, that'll be a start. God bless y'all. God bless your families, your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.